May I ask you, I hope you won't think this has latent racism in this question. It is to do with culture as well. Why in Islam do you, screw on yourself, exclude the healing power of music from the education of young children?
Now this is again a very interesting and important question. The healing power of music is good, but also there is the other side of the picture which diverts your attention to the destructive power of music as well. Any creative instrument has two ends, either positive or negative. The use of it or the trend in the usage of such things decides the issue whether the ultimate product is positive or negative. In relation to music, for instance, first of all let me tell you that Islam has not forbidden the use of music as harshly as understood by the people. Mm-hmm. It was the preference of Hazrat Muhammad not to promote music in a society which was being reformed from the uncivilized ways of the ignorant Arab. There, music and drinking were the two largest, the most powerful factors in leading them to the promiscuous life to which they were used. They would go always together in all the public fairs of Arabia. You'd find these two things, music and poetry, etc., of course, read with it, and wine. This resulted in a society which was extremely permissive. And the Holy Prophet wanted to bring that society back to a sense of responsibility and discipline. So Islam forbade drinking alcohol. This was from God. But Islam does not forbid music, because there is no such verse in the Holy Quran. So the issue of music is a different issue from that of wine. Mm-hmm. There we are told by the traditionalists that at some times he heard the sound of lute being played somewhere, and he turned away and shut his ears to that. While he himself heard a sort of music, permitted a sort of music to be played in his presence when he was entering Medina. And the musical instruments found in those days included daf, as it was called, you know, like something of a pot covered only on one side with skin. So it is one-sided, this drum, which was not a drum, that's why I didn't use the word drum. The drum has both sides covered with skin. But this is only like earthenware for keeping water. You bind it tightly with a tightly stretched skin and play your fingers at it, and this produces that sort of music. As he was entering Medina, that music was being played, and girls were singing the songs of welcome to him, that, oh, the holy reformer, the divine reformer, you have come, you have dawned, you have risen like a moon from the horizon, and so on and so forth. And he didn't take exception to that. Similarly, later on, gradually in the history of Islam, music was in fact encouraged and used for creating some noble sentiments relating to religion and God, and it helped the expression of love to God and the godly people. And that is why the qawwali you sometimes hear on television is always played with music. So in Indian culture it developed differently, with music playing a greater role. In some other cultures this was depressed, and the same injunction, shall we call, or a suggestion, a strong suggestion by the Holy Prophet, it is not an injunction in the sense that if you play music or listen to music, there is no punishment mentioned in the Quran or Hadith for that, anywhere. So technically speaking, this can't be called injunction. So that is why I hesitated a little bit in choosing my words and came to a strong suggestion. So the role of music in Islam lies in the area of that strong suggestion, which should be respected if you love the Holy Prophet, and should be respected because he must have done it for your own sake. You know, that is the philosophy behind it. But it is not altogether forbidden. And the forms, some forms of music were permitted even then, as I have just told you. So different countries showed their behavior, musical, in relation to music, differently, while they were all Muslims. In India, the Indian culture played its role because their music and religion went hand in hand, they were inseparable. So that is also a demonstration of how culture should be treated. It should be given a freer hand. So here too, all Ahmadi boys and girls I know, they are fond of music, they listen to music, and no punitive measures are ever taken against them. But we also give them strong advice occasionally of not losing themselves to the latest trends in music, because they are becoming less ennobling and more exciting. That is another part which we must bring into the focus of our attention before deciding. You see, there was a time in European history where music played almost entirely an ennobling role. What is music? Music is an attempt to provide the rhythm existing within you from the outside, so that whatever lies within you of the rhythmic things created by God, they find a counterpart in the outside. And the best musician is that which brings forth a music which perfectly tallies with the music within. When this is achieved, a masterpiece is created. And it was that which was always kept in the focus of attention in the development of music in Europe. All the great masterpieces are those, when you listen to them, and I have listened to that myself once in the great Royal Albert Music Hall when I was a student here, just to find out what music was. And as I said, in those days music had less negative influences than it is today. It has today. I felt sometimes being transported into an ecstatic world. I didn't understand a word of music, but something within me was brought forth, and I felt in harmony with the things outside. And that is exactly the natural search of all human beings. And that is where the true pleasure lies in. There is excitement, which is only an Oxford factor, which excites something within only to create a sense of forgetfulness of the immediate surrounding, and to lose yourself in the under the misconception that you are enjoying a pleasure. This is not what Islam promotes. What Islam promotes is the true pleasure. And the true pleasure in this definition, according to this definition, can be found in all human pursuits, in fact. When you go for a companion, a man for a woman for a man, unless there is a perfect match between the inner desires and requirements and visions and dreams of a person with another person, the marriage cannot be considered to be the most ideal. You know, it would always have areas of friction left. And that is where a jarring note in terms of music, you know, comes in and renders the masterpiece no longer a masterpiece, you know. A jarring note, discord here and there appears. So the perfect player is in perfect content, which comes from absolute harmony between what you desire, and many a time you don't know what you desire, and what you find. And when you find something meeting with the harmonious requirements of within of things within you, then that is heaven created on earth. So about the music, I feel personally, we can't say the same freely as we could say about 100, 200 years ago. Now the trend is more in the direction of excitement. And particularly, inciting within you, not the best of you, but the cheapest of you. You know, a mad rush for possession of pleasure, and regardless of whatever you pay as a cost, or regardless at what the society pays as a cost towards your pleasure. In this pop music, which is becoming more and more popular, and more teenagers are completely drowned in this, I found that danger. And that is why we strongly discourage MZ children to be given over to such type of music. It takes over. It leaves them incapable of deriving pleasure from the nearness of God anymore. Because in that nearness there is content. That nearness is only pleasurable when it matches with the nobility within you. But if you have acquired a bad taste, then no longer can you enjoy the nobler taste of nearness of God. So this is a religious requirement to be very cautious in what we advise our children to take as pleasures, instruments of pleasure, and reject as pleasures and instruments of pleasures.